This is a sidebar, but I was on the way over here. You know, I like football, and I gave up on the NFL when, not because of Kaepernick, but because of Goodell. He should have thumped Kaepernick and thrown him out of the league when he first knelt. But a pastor in Washington just sent me a picture of the NFL's first male dancer. So now they're going to have fags dancing in NFL games. He's probably going to date the players too. Anyway, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The theme this year is stand fast. I know I'm a speaker, but I still didn't know that. And but my message this morning is, here I stand. My message this morning is stand fast. And I want to talk to you about some things. Guys, how many guys are old enough to remember the 70s? And I'm talking about the 70s in church. Okay. Guys, if you were around then, there was something going on in this country that if it was not a revival, it was a movement of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, I got saved in 1970. A lot of people got saved in that time period. I run into people and they'll go, back in 1970, I read a book and it had a great influence on my life. I said, you read Late Great Planet Earth? And they go, yeah, I did. How'd you know? I said, that I have, look, I go everywhere. I run into that testimony more than anything I've ever heard. That poor guy, he wrote Late Great Planet Earth. God used it. He wrote a whole thing on Left Behind, and all he did is not making money. But we've seen it. We've seen really a movement of the Holy Spirit in our country, and we're not seeing it now. I used to think of our country like flood irrigation. You guys know what flood irrigation is? That's where you just put so much water on your field, it's underwater, and then you shut the water off, and then it slowly seeps down. And I'm thinking it's more like the wave. You've seen it at a football game. You know how everybody stands up for 1 second and it just kind of goes around there. I feel like spiritually I'm standing on the West Coast at the Pacific Ocean watching the Holy Spirit leave our country. There tend to be less results. It's tougher. Obviously, our country has gotten much harder, much more destitute spiritually. But I'm going to talk to you about it because we're in an age, you know, I know we got an internet. Everybody says, well, the internet's the answer. Internet's not the answer. You're not going to change the world with a video. I'm sorry. We got a generation that thinks they're going to make one video and the whole world is going to get straightened out. God called, or God said he was going to use the foolishness of preaching. I had a guy ask me some time back, he said, wouldn't you say that your writing ministry has superseded the importance of your preaching ministry? I said, well, I don't know if it has or not. But I said, I know God chose the foolishness of preaching. And if tomorrow I had to make a decision to do one or the other, I'd never write another word because God chose preaching. And there's some things we did in the 70s that are, people are saying, well, I do that, you know, but it doesn't show any results. And I'm going to talk to you, it's actually kind of a two-phase thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says this, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Guys, we're in a world that, if I don't describe it as godless and wicked and evil and every negative adjective I can come up with, it is this. It is natural. It is natural. It's got natural laws. If I take my watch, let it go, it's not going to float. It's going to go down. That's a natural law. Well, okay, and natural man is in this. Think of what natural means. Natural means you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to make natural work. So you and I and our people don't need to do anything to have their flesh fed naturally. It's just natural. So what we need to do for our people is to give them something that is above nature. So that would be supernatural. And guys, I can't find anything but what that verse says. Read, exhort, and doctrine. Your people need to be reading their Bible, and you need to be reading your Bible, okay? I don't understand guys that claim to believe the Bible's perfect and don't read it, and I'm talking about every word of it, and then when you get done, read it again, and then you get done, read it again, and as soon as you're done, read it again, and you can stop as soon as you die or you hear a loud trumpet. But you have to be reading, and they have to be reading. Because that is this. Look, think about this. This is the only book on the planet that doesn't come from the planet. This is the only thing on our earth that comes from off of the earth. So guys, this is like amazing. So you got to read it. Exhort. That's preaching. You know, I tell church members, when I tell them to read their Bible, I equate exhortation, preaching, to a big Sunday dinner. Now, I'm going to guess for the households that are represented here, is this not about how it is? Sunday's noon meal is a big production. It's a roast beef, it's a chicken, it's whatever. And Monday's noon meal might be a bologna sandwich or a burger, because it's just not the noon meal of Sunday, correct? All right. I tell people, you know, I said, look, I don't know what you think of your pastor. You say, well, he's my pastor, and he's my preacher, and he's my counselor, and he's this, and he's teacher, and all this. But I believe this, guys. I believe all preachers are cooks. Amen. We are cooks. Every time we get behind a pulpit, we're presenting a meal. And we've got the recipe book. All right? And so I tell guys, I tell church members, I said, look, when you get up there on Sunday, when you go to church on Sunday, I said, your pastor presents you a big meal from this book. Now, your reading personally on Monday might be the bologna sandwich. You're not going to cook a meal like your pastor does, because he's in the Bible more, right? And he's trying to present a meal. But I said, you know what that bologna sandwich does on Monday? It gets you through to the bologna sandwich on Tuesday. And I said, then Wednesday you get another meal. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I said, I always, when I pastored, I want to preach a message on Sunday that ran out Wednesday morning. And the one that got on Wednesday night, I want them, just about Saturday night, to them realize, man, I need to go to church again. And so guys, you give them a big spiritual meal on Sunday. That's exhortation. Then they read their Bible. That gets them through till the next Sunday, when they get the big meal again. But here's something that I've noticed, and is the third thing, is doctrine. Our people are not changing their doctrine. We're just not emphasizing our doctrine. I think, and it's not irresponsibility, I think it's blindness. I think you say this, well, my people go here, they know it. Yeah, they know the doctrine. Maybe they don't. And believe it or not, you know, when guys have me, I just taught Sunday school down in Indiana Sunday, and the lesson was why we baptize and why we have the Lord's Supper. A lot of my lessons are rehashes of our basic Bible doctrines. And here's what I say. I don't see the doctrine like having a spiritual input like preaching does. People get preaching and they get saved, or they get their heart right about something, correct? Or people read their Bible and they grow, and they might change something in their life. What doctrine is it's this foundation that this building is on. And we all know if this building was not on a good foundation, this building would not be a good building. And I think we're slipping. I'm not accusing you. I'm telling you, I think we're slipping a little bit on presenting doctrine. And so what I'd advise you is get up and teach the people doctrine again. You're going to have a generation. Think about this. We now, I've talked to more than one guy, and maybe it's happened in here. I've talked to more than one guy who's talked to a teenager in this country and mentioned Jesus Christ and had this response. Who's that? Okay, so lead them to Christ. You think they understand baptism? You think they understand eternal security? You think they understand creation? They don't understand anything. I'm telling you guys, they have been, for all they're doing to them morally in public schools, they're absolutely destroying their brains, okay? And so what I would advise the pastors do is give your people doctrine. I was talking to a pastor, and he said, I think every 2 years or something, they just go through all the church doctrines again for the people. And because the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 4, it says that the day will come when they, that's you and me, that's all Christianity, when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Well, think about this, guys. If you won't endure sound doctrine, then you'll endure what? Unsound doctrine. So you're going to have people coming around thinking they're going halfway through the tribulation, or the earth is flat. You know, all these great Bible truths, or whatever. I'm telling you, brother. I mean, they're getting this stuff. Somebody is smoking their Bible lessons instead of reading them. But so I would impart to your people doctrine, and you will be shocked. You may never know, because some of them are going to go, I didn't know that. But they're not going to tell you, because they figure you thought they knew it. And they're not going to tell you what they didn't know. But give them doctrine. Preach to them. Now, guys, the ministry isn't all about golfing or hunting or fishing or checking inside your eyelids for air holes. You need to be a student of the Bible. You need to be a student of this book. I still study this book. I just saw something the other day. It was just real, just in my daily reading. It was just a real blessing in Colossians. And you need to read this book, because if you're not in this book, you can't give them anything. And let me tell you where a church member becomes a problem to his pastor. One of two things. He becomes more spiritual than his pastor, or he thinks he is. Okay, you've had some that think they are. But sometimes when you think he thinks he is, that's because he's reading his Bible and you're not reading yours. And I got bad news for you. If your people are reading the Bible and you're not, you're going to preach something someday, and one of your members is going to go, hey, preacher, that isn't what the Bible says. And then you're going to have to go, oh, touch God. Touch not God's anointed. Because you're not reading the book God gave you. So you need to be a student of that book. If you're a student of that book, God will give you something, and you can feed them. Give them doctrine. Give them, you preach to them. And I don't try to make people mad when I preach, but you've got to tell the truth. Guys, the truth will always touch a heart. The Bible says we're to tell the truth with what? With love. I don't have to put the truth on the end of a ball peen hammer and hit somebody in the head with it. But, and I'm going to say something, you guys probably think this is heresy, because we go, let's let you know, I stand without apology. I stand with apology.
Yeah. Amen.
I have had to tell some people some very hard truths and say, I am sorry I have to tell you this. I don't always jump over my desk and go, bless God, it's him. I don't have to do that. I don't have to rake him over the coals. I'll say, look, I am sorry that I have to tell you this. But what you're doing is wrong. So that's what exhortation is. They need preached to. They need that. And it's more than just gospel preaching. It's got to be biblical. It's just, guys, you know, I heard a preacher one time, and he was bragging. I look, lead people to Christ in your church. That's fine. That's not bad. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that you and I have the same ministry. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors for what? The perfecting of the saints. Not the winning of them, the perfecting of them. So your services are supposed to be geared to making the sheep healthy. Healthy sheep make sheep. And I heard a guy boasting one time, and he says, he was talking about how many people that get saved in his church, you know, and he goes, my church is a spiritual maternity ward. And I thought, yeah, full of a bunch of crying babies. I mean, I'm sorry, that's what it is. You've got to give them more than that. I'm not saying, not like if somebody comes forward, you can't do that here. They get saved, but you have got to be in your Bible so you have something to feed them, and you've got to encourage them to read, because that will help them, because you want to help your people, right? Okay, can you be with them all day Monday? Can you be with them all day Tuesday? Can you be with them at work? Can you be with them when they leave town for a job? No, you can't, but this can. So you're doing God and yourself a favor when you get your people into this book. So I would emphasize these three, because these, honest guys, I can't think of anything but these three that are mentioned right here where we get something from outside the solar system. The doctrine comes from the book. The book comes from heaven. We get the messages from heaven, from the book. It all comes out of here. And so your people need those three things. Now, there's something else that needs to, we need to get back to something. I'm going to use a four-letter word, okay? Soul winning. You say, that's not a four-letter word. Well, the way some of you avoided it is. Now, look, I am not into 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, 5, 6, 7, 9, you're going to heaven, 8, 9, 10. Let's do it again. I know I forgot 4, but let's go get some more. You know, we were, you know what they called us? Brother Joe, you remember being with Canton Baptist Temple. They called us the headhunters. We were in a church of 5,000 people. Like, the college of career class was 425. And brother, if you weren't dead more than 3 days, we'd lead you to Christ. I mean, we led anything and everything to Christ. And there was an excitement in that. And we now, you know, now we go, oh, well, those guys, you know, they just make somebody repeat a prayer. Well, then don't do it that way. I mean, look, you know, it's you still know what to do, correct? But we need to have a burden. Here's why. I think you ought to be soul winning. I think you ought to go to visitation again. We lost visitation. I remember it was every Tuesday night. Man, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And Tuesday was knocking on doors. Tuesday was going visiting. Tuesday was going with a bunch of 3x5 cards. And visit whoever was there, if they were a visitor or whatever. And then it got to this. Well, we just pass out the cards, and you make the calls whenever it's convenient for you. And then the day come, they quit passing out the cards. And I know what you're saying. Well, we go visiting, and it's not working. Well, yeah, it actually is. Let me tell you how it's working. When Kathy and I went on the road 33 years ago, we went on the road with no weekly income, no promised support or anything like that. And as evangelist, and there's several here, we can testify. With this crowd here, it's easy to get. Because you guys are the most kind-hearted, gracious, giving people on the planet. Bible believers are the greatest guys there are. By the way, on the check, the name is spelled G-I-P-P. Anyway, and just in case you had an impulse, if you had an impulse while I was talking. And I told Kathy this. I said, babe, as evangelist, it's easy to be in the getting mode. Because you guys want to give. We go places and people, you know, they might fill up the car or you know, give you this or buy tires. But I'll tell you, in 33 years on the road, you know who bought most of our tires? Me. Because that's how it works. But, man, I had one guy, when we had this big dually, had 6 tires on it. I had to fly for a meeting, and I had to leave it at his house, and it did need tires. I came back, there were 6 brand new tires on it. In fact, if you need tires, I'll give you that guy's address. It's kind of like, I've been parking cars in his driveway ever since. But see, that's what happens. Then you get that. That's how you get it. The evangelist comes in and goes, pray for us. We need tires on our car. And we're probably going to die because nobody cares. And then somebody goes out and buys some tires. And go, look how God led. God didn't lead that. And so as an evangelist, it's easy to be in the getting mode. So I told Kathy, I said, babe, we got to do something so that we stay in the giving mode. Now, I'm a tither, and we tithe and we give above that to our church. Always have. But we took on missionaries on our own. You say, why? Because I need to stay in the giving mode. I need to think about that. In fact, when we bought our first motorhome, we got up to 26 missionaries. And when we bought our first motorhome in 03, I told Kath, I said, look, we're going to get this motorhome and we're going to have a large monthly payment. And I said, we're going to get like antsy about giving. So I said, after we get this deal nailed down, after we get this motorhome, I said, we had 22 at that time, 22 missionaries. I said, we're going to go shopping for our 23rd missionary. And I said, we're going to do that so that we stay in the giving mode. So here's what I'm telling you. I don't know if that money helped them at all. And I think it probably did. But if it didn't help one missionary, it was good for us to be giving. Do you understand? Same thing with knocking on doors. It is good for your people. It's not just, well, we're going out there and we're not getting any results from... Well, you might not be getting any results from the door, but you are putting an aggressiveness back into our people. Guys, you know, I hear people knock fundamentalists for always, you know, they're always 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and hitting the bushes, but there is an aggressiveness that I'm seeing dying in our churches. I was with a pastor. This guy was... I was his youth director when he was 14 years old. That was about 2 years ago. Anyway, we went door knocking, and I did. I got in an argument with a fag. He's probably that dancer that I showed you on the phone. And then we knock on this door, and this 20-year-old kid named Nick comes to the door. You know how some of those kids, they got this please slap me in the mouth attitude. Nick didn't have it. He had his baseball hat on right. He had it backwards. The bill was in front. And he was respectful. And he was just very nice. And we're talking. He's standing in the house. He's up about, 7, 8 inches, and we're talking. And I said something about, Nick, Jesus Christ died for sinners. And he said, that's me. I'm a sinner. I mean, wasn't it this? Oh, yeah, man, I was a sinner. No, I mean, it wasn't there. And I gave him a plan of salvation. He says, can I do that right now? I said, yeah. He stepped out, closed the door. He bowed his head on the front porch and trusted Christ on the front porch of his parents' house. So we're walking away, and the pastor was so excited. He goes, man, I'm so glad he got saved. I said, Nick is stupid. He said, what? I said, Nick is stupid. He said, why? I said, doesn't he know this doesn't work anymore? Well, if that's what we bought, Nick wouldn't have got saved that day. And then on the same visitation, we're going up this street, and it's the funniest thing because we're going up this street, and it's a dead end, and we got to cross over. And on the last house on that side, there's this old lady just sitting on her porch steps. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? Right when we get to the house across the street, she's going to turn around, go in the house, and when we knock on the door, she's not even going to answer. Sat right there like a pigeon. She sat there. She was I think, 82-year-old Methodist lady and got saved. So you will get somebody saved somewhere along the line, and that is good. But here's the thing. Even if you don't get somebody saved, your people are thinking that way. Do you understand? Come on, you guys. You guys ever go fishing and hunting and not get something? Well, you went back, didn't you?
I went fishing. I didn't catch nothing, so I'll never do that again. Not like it used to be.
They go out again. You know, to me, fishing, I'm sorry. I'm not. When I fish, hunt, and golf, you find out why they're four-letter words. When I see a guy fishing, I just think, man, it's like a day in jail with a chance of drowning. But having some kind of, and oh, here's the ugly word, organized visitation program. Having something where you say, folks, let's go out and knock on these doors. Because we all shoot our mouths off about caring about the lost. And then sit home on Tuesday night and watch what? Dancing with the Stars or, Storage Wars. Why don't we go with Soul Wars? Okay? And what I'm saying, guys, yes, it is what God said. Didn't he say they went house to house? Isn't it what the book of Acts says? They went house to house. And I know there was a time when it was more fresh in this country. I know there was a time when lost people knew more Bible than some Christians do today. I understand that. But if there are people out there that don't know the gospel, doesn't that mean there's going to be some real fertile soil? We're going to take it to somebody that's not heard it. And it really did. It did astound me that this kid, this Nick, he was just as open. I'm looking at this kid, I'm thinking, why? He must not be taking what all the other 20-year-olds are taking. Because he's nice. But the thing is this, guys, even if your people go out, and the only about the only visitation some of our churches do is bus visitation. If you got a bus ministry, okay, I don't believe in buses. Well, start. Look, when I graduated from Bible college, I didn't believe in buses. I thought that's how you pad your attendance. You know what changed my mind? I'm sitting in a church, and they had their bus kids get up to sing. I can still remember this day, 104 kids. And there they are, kid, disheveled hair, shorts, flip-flops, dirty t-shirt. You know the house he came from. You know what it's like. 104 kids. And they got up. You know what they sang? They sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, and the B-I-B-L-E. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And here's what he said. American kids used to learn these songs on their mother's lap. Yeah. 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 And some of those kids that learned those songs on their mother's lap when they turned 18 years old, they went out of the house. They left the church behind. They said, they'll never see me again. And then about 3 years later, just as they were putting the gun to their head, they said, I'm going to kill myself because nobody loves me. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. My mom told me that. And they got right with God. American kids are not getting those songs on their mother's lap. They're getting heroin on their mother's lap. They're getting pot on their mother's lap. And when I saw those kids, I thought, you know what's going to happen to some of those 104 kids? They're going to turn 18 years old. The bus guy's going to knock on their door and they're going to cuss him out and say, get out of here. Don't ever pick me up for church again. And they're going to go back out in that world. And about 3 years later, they're going to put the gun to their head and say, I'm going to kill myself because nobody loved me. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That guy that picked me up on the bus, he taught me that. Guys, we have opportunity to reach into those, okay? But we have got to go out. And so I am not again. Look, my pastor didn't even count who comes in. He didn't count who comes in on the bus. They don't worry about it. And he even said one time, he said, if I could get a bunch of buses, I wouldn't get any more buses because he doesn't want to be too bus centric. But have somebody, because you'll have some, you'll get somebody. Yeah, I know there was the day when it was all, my church had more people on buses than your church. I know what that was like. No, nobody says we have to do that. But get somebody in, because I'm telling you, there are out there, and there you see them. They got 8 colors of hair. They look like, you heard the statement, man, they look like they fell face first into a tackle box. But they need somebody to bring them to church because they need the exhortation. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear that their life can be brand new, not changed, but brand new. And it's not changed. Our God, let me ask you a question. Has the plan of salvation changed over time? We still gave him the same plan of salvation, right? Well, why are we changing everything else? I'm always astounded when we talk about, you know, I'm not into the quote unquote old paths everything, but we talk about, well, you know, I'm going to get up and we're going to try something new. Well, we gave up on what was old and what was biblical. And I really believe this, guys. I really believe people going out and knocking on doors, if they don't win anybody, you know what they've done? They went hunting that day. They got in the hunting mode. You understand? Just like I have to do something to keep myself in the giving mode. You have to do something for your people to be in the hunting mode. And so teach them to hunt. Teach them to go after them. Teach them to bring them in. Our people, we're losing aggression. In King James Bible-believing churches, we are losing aggression. We got a generation, all they're sitting around is their laptop and their iPhone, and they're going to win the world with what they're going to do on the internet. God didn't appoint the internet for that. Do you understand? He gave us 2 good feet. We're supposed to use them. And it will help your people. If they get somebody saved, I know it sounds awful when I say this. If they get somebody saved and that's incidental, they still do well if they go out and knock on the doors.
That's right.
So we have got to do something to get that aggressiveness back in them. And if you got one that's a little rabid, let him alone.
Yeah.
Just let him alone. Yeah. You know, it'll wear off. Yeah. You don't have to tone him down. He'll tone down over time. But turn him loose, okay? Man, you know, when I got saved, I was 20 years old. I was a Roman Catholic. I was a drunk and very lost. And I started dating Kathy. Yes, I dated.
Yeah.
We dated. We didn't court. We dated. That was before that brand new doctrine was started. There you go. Yes. Anyway, and by the way, when I say date, that does not mean we went from motel to motel. We never touched each other until we got married. But here's my problem. I have a problem. I'm going to take this girl out. Well, what do you do with a good girl? I can't take her any place I ever took another girl. Okay? I mean, I can't do anything with her that I ever did with any other girl. And you remember all the hippies of the 70s? They used to meet in North Canton at the North Canton YMCA. I have no idea. The hippies out there. And our entire date life, my wife and I, we would just get in the car, in my old truck, and we'd go down to North Canton, and we just win hippies to the Lord. That's all. I say, why'd you do it? Because you had a burden for souls? No, I wanted to do something with her. I didn't know what to do. I'm telling you the truth. I wanted to be with her, and I couldn't. I can't take her to a movie. I can't take her to a dance. I'm not taking her to a bar. What do you do? Well, let's go talk to these people about the Lord, babe. And our entire day life. You know, we're going to find somebody in heaven.
Yeah.
Because Kathy and I went on a date. It was good for us. It was good for us. And yeah, knocking on the door and winning somebody to Christ is good for the person who went to Christ. You see, that's the problem. You think that's the only benefit. So if you don't win anybody that day, you think, we're not getting any benefit. It's helping every person that goes out.
Yeah.
You get somebody, you know, that gets to be tracking, passing tracks or witnessing to people. You get them in the mode. Do you understand? You get them geared to go looking for lost people, to go asking people about their salvation. We need to stay aggressive, and we're not aggressive. And I can't believe King James Bible believers are not aggressive, but we're not. And when I see guys that don't have the Bible as straight as we do, but they got more aggression, I am not an either or guy. I don't believe in either or.
I'd rather have somebody knocked on doors and won souls and had the wrong Bible than have a King James and do nothing. I don't believe in either one of those.
Right.
I believe in having the King James and knocking on doors and winning souls. Who says you can't have them both? That's why I like the buffet. I don't have to choose between chicken and beef. And I also get a pork chop and fish. But guys, what I'm saying, knock on the doors. Get your people to knock on doors. Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough because they're ingrained at sitting and watching. And they're going to be afraid. And if all you can do is say, look, just go knock on some doors or just hang things. You know, when I had a youth department, I used to tell my young people, I said, if you go to a house, go to either house on either side. When you visit, just knock on the house next door and say, hi, we are from Massillon Baptist Temple. We're here visiting the folks next door. And while we're here, we just want to knock on your door. And that's it. And I'll never forget it. We sent out some of my young guys with a bunch of 3x5 cards. And they are thrilled. And they said, I said, how'd your visiting go? They go, there wasn't one person home. And we had two saved. I said, whoa. They said, every single card, no one was home. I said, well, how'd you get two saved? He said, well, we did what you told us. We knocked on the door on either side, and we got people saved at those houses. That's aggression. I mean, aggression isn't all about lining up on a football and busting somebody. Aggression is moving forward and giving it what you got. And so you need to do something to instill aggressiveness in your people. And the Bible already told you how to do it. Tell them, go knock on a door. Tell them to take some tracts with them and pass them out. I get on people all the time, stinking Baptists, they love everything free. But they come past a track rack on the way into church where they're free and don't take any. Then they go back past it again on the way out when they're free and don't take any. And then that week they go, man, I wish I'd have had a track. I said, well, who? What happened to your tracks? The dog that ate your homework when you're in high school now eats your tracks?
Yeah.
I tell people, look, if you're afraid to pass tracks, grab a handful of them and ask, pray this prayer. Show me how I can pass these out without talking to a human being. I don't care if somebody finds one in a... You know what? I always put them in the motel. I put them in the pizza page. We like to go to a motel and order a pizza. So I always go to the yellow pages, and it's always between physicians and plumbing. Anyway. So you know what I do? I figure there's probably somebody like me. They go to a motel. They want to order a pizza. Why make them go through all those yellow pages? I stick the track out. It's sticking above the page like a bookmarker. And it opens up to the pizza page. And there's the gospel track. It'll be something to get to heaven, find some guy up here. I said, how'd you get there? You're going to believe this, man. I stayed at a motel one time. You won't believe it. I was going to get a pizza. And there was this Bible pamphlet there. And I read it and got saved. I'll take that. But guys, we need to be aggressive. So the two things are, you need to stay in your Bible. I mean, you need to be Bible readers. You need to study it. Don't ask God to open the Bible to you. Ask God to open your eyes to the Bible. This doesn't need opened up. The problem is with us. But you need to be in this book so that you can cook better than they can make a bologna sandwich. so that you can give them more when you preach than they get when they read. You understand? And I am sorry if that just cuts into your golf time. But give them something. Exhort them. Then get them to read. Give them doctrine. That'll put them down on their feet, because we're losing people. It's crazy. They are believing everything. And the internet is filled with the craziest stuff. I tell people, I want to start a church. I don't mean an impact. I mean, I want to start like a movement church, like a cult. And it says in the Old Testament about the latter growth. And I tell guys, I said, I want to start the church of the latter growth. And all the men will have mullet haircuts. Now, I see you guys are laughing. But this is the time when they'll not endure sound doctrine. If I tried to do that today, I would go on the internet. I'd grow my mullet haircut, which that would take a long time. Anyway, I would get the mullet haircut. I'd go on online, and I'll guarantee you a year after I started, I'd have people follow me. Because we're in the age when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Then guys, give your people doctrine. That will found them. And doctrine comes from heaven just as much as the Bible. Give them doctrine. Exhort them when they come in. Get them reading their Bible. And then get them doing something. Get them doing, you know, I tell people, if you're afraid to go soul winning, you know what you ought to do? If your church has a daily vacation Bible school, ask your pastor. I said, go to your pastor and say, give me the kids. Go, let me win an 8-year-old to the Lord. I tell folks, I said, if you are afraid to go soul winning, ask God for an easy one. You can get easy ones. I told you I'm not a fisherman, but if I was out in a boat and a suicidal fish jumped in, I would not pick it up and go, oh, poor little fishy. Here, go home. Oh, no. I'd pick up that fish and I'd say, oh, fishy. God and John Calvin have ruined your day. And I said, now we're going to take you home and we're going to eat you. And tomorrow your mother will call you, but you won't be there because we're going to take you. I know what to do with an easy one, okay? I'll give you this and I'll be done. Kathy and I were doing some visitation some time back, and I asked the Lord for an easy one. I said, Lord, I didn't want anybody to Lord for a while. I said, I'd like an easy one. So we go in this house. And you know why your people are afraid to go door knocking? Somebody's going to ask them, where'd Cain get his wife and how'd Noah get the animals on the boat? And we get in this house, Kathy and I and this guy. He's an older guy. And I give him the gospel. And he goes, can I do that right now? I said, you want to do that right now? He goes, yeah, can I do that right now? I said, Yeah, you can do it right now. He goes, can I do that right here? I said, you want to do that right here? I mean, I was so used to talking about Cain and his wife, you know. I go, yeah, you can do that right here. I want to say, where'd Cain get his wife, smarty? I mean, isn't that the truth? You finally get the answer and they never ask the question again. And so this guy that didn't even know how to be lost got down his knees at his couch and trusted Christ. I mean, I should have borrowed money from him if he was that easy. I should have hit him up for some cash. But what I'm saying, guys, it's not new. There's nothing going to be new that is going to revolutionize the church. If you're telling me that there's going to be something in the 21st century that wasn't going to work in the first century, that we have an advantage over them, no, sir. And you know what they did? They got in it. They read, exhorted, and got doctrine. Amen. And they went door knocking house to house. That's what they did in the first century. Yep. Let's do it until he comes back or until we die. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this book. God, this book's not wrong. I know we live in a nation that's getting more like the days of Noah. I know that. I know that some people are more wicked and some people are more hard, but some people are more ignorant and they're more open. But that doesn't even mean anything, God. We need to be aggressive, and the people in the pews need to be aggressive for you. And so God, bless these men. I ask you, Father, to open their eyes when they read their Bible. Give them something, Lord, that just really flips their switch, and then they can get up Sunday, and when they give it to their people because it's fresh to them, it will dazzle their people. I pray for all of them to be Bible readers and their people to be Bible readers. I pray, God, for their people to get founded on their doctrines. And help us all, God, to knock on some doors. I'm not going to tell people they got to cry for souls, God, but they still got to go try to win them. And so, Lord, help these people to be more aggressive for thee. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.